Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone? It's Marcelo, and I'm back for a brand new season of From the Lions Cove podcast. Obviously, I'm your host, Marcelo. We're going to call it FTLC from now on, because From the Lions Cove gets kind of long. So, FTLC podcast, I'm here with a very special guest, brand new season, and I can't wait to start it off and introduce you to my man, Dom DeMuth. Pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let me give Dom a proper introduction. So, star linebacker at Mayfield High School, also star linebacker and D end at the College of Worcester. I guess I'm pretty sure you played linebacker for like a little bit.
Yeah, I played linebacker my junior year.
All right. Well, prior to Worcester, he was all district, all conference, News Herald All Star, and he went 11-1 his senior year, which is pretty good. In 2020-2021 season, 9 tackles over 2 games, which was pretty big. 21 season, started all 10 games, 48 tackles. He had 10 tackles in the game as well. And 2022, started all 10 games, 73 tackles. And in 2023, third team, all NCAC honoree, started all 10 games, 51 tackles, and logged a high of 9 tackles in one game. He also had a key sack and fumble and a big win. So, star athlete right here, star player, and yeah, it's great to have you on the podcast.
It's a great being here. I appreciate you asking me to come on and talk about some things with some football and whatnot. So, yeah.
So, for those who don't know, Dom is actually my cousin. Me and him go way back a long, long time. But prior to like your high school football days, me and Dom actually played a year of football together. So that was a lot of fun. I actually remember in practice, we were doing drills, and I just absolutely hit stick him to the ground.
Okay, I didn't know we were lying on the podcast now.
Yeah, but then after he kind of got me back. So, but it was a lot of fun playing football with him for a year. But I'm sure later throughout this podcast we'll talk about some basketball. So that'll be pretty fun. So, our first question is, how did you start playing football, and what drew you to, like, the sport?
Yeah, so, kind of, like, my first introduction to football was my older brother. I got an older brother that's 6 years older than I am. He, growing up, he always was, he always played football. I always went to his games, growing up, as well as my dad. He was a coach for many years. He oftentimes coached my brother, throughout middle school and such. And then he, in high school and for a short stint in college, he didn't coach him. But growing up, I always saw him playing football, and my dad kind of always instilled the football, into me and my brothers. And that's kind of what got me initially into football. And then what drew me to football was the physicality part of football. I loved, growing up, I was kind of always a physical kid, and I loved that aspect of it. Kind of being able to hit someone without any repercussions, and then as well as kind of just the team aspect of it. I loved being a part of a team. I loved having that team aspect, with football. And so those are two very big, drivers for me with loving the sport of football. So, and I feel like it's, unlike any other sport out there. in terms of those two aspects. So,
yeah. Awesome. What age did you start playing the game of football?
Oh man. So I know I started out in flag football for St. Francis. I can't remember exactly what grade I was in. It's probably first, second grade, maybe. I think I started playing flag football. And then I then started organized football with pads and such my fifth grade year. I actually started at Mayfield because at St. Francis they didn't let you start playing tackle football until sixth grade. So I first started out playing tackle football at Mayfield in fifth grade, and then from there on out, I played at St. Francis the rest of my middle school career. So
wow, yeah. So what age would you say that you started taking the game pretty serious, when you realized you were kind of listen, I have to put in more work, put in more effort, you know, to not almost reach the next level, but even just before high school.
I'd probably say my seventh grade year, probably going to my eighth grade year. I started going to a place called Speed Strength out in Chagrin. My brother went there. He started out there, and then once I kind of got to the age where I was kind of able to start, lifting, doing some training, body was still developing a little bit. So once that seventh grade, going to eighth grade year, I started going to Speed Strength. And that's when I was if I want to do well in high school, I kind of, need to start getting things started, right now, start taking it a little bit more seriously. That's during that time was when I really started to know that I really loved football. It's something I wanted to do. So yeah, I'd say probably my seventh grade going into my eighth grade year of middle school.
Yeah. And what's funny too, is that I actually went to Speed Strength with you for
year or two. Oh yeah, I remember. Trust me, I remember.
I actually still have a scar on my leg when I was doing box jumps.
Oh my god!
When I was doing box jumps, I fell.
Yeah, I remember. And
the wood went into my knee. It was nasty, but
he should have made the jump. that's hey, what it comes down to. He should have made the jump.
Hey, that's at a time when I wasn't that athletic.
Oh. So you're athletic now then? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had to make sure.
All right, next question.
Okay.
So, obviously, you went to Mayfield. Mm-hmm. So can you describe your first game playing for the high school, and what was that like for you?
So are we talking my first varsity game, or my first game ever at Mayfield?
First game ever.
Yeah, so that was my... it was my freshman year. I can't remember the exact team that we played, but I know I played linebacker. I was maybe 180 at that point, maybe 170, probably right, maybe even 160, around that point. I was 160 at that point. I don't remember the team that we were playing, that first game, but I do remember playing linebacker. I know it was coming out, it was first high school game. I was, most people know freshmen play on Thursdays. But I just know, I was here we are, this is the next level, we're here. So let's try and make the most of it and see what happens, cause who knows, I might have not loved it. And, given the circumstances, whatever the case may be, but I stepped on the field. I was like, I'm gonna do what I've been doing for a good portion of my life, and wherever it takes me is wherever it takes me. I just know I was filled with a lot of excitement and eagerness just to play at the next level, so to say.
So starting your first varsity game, I'm sure you were pretty nervous.
So starting my first varsity game was my junior year at Mayfield. It was against Walsh Jesuit. We were at Walsh Jesuit. It's my first ever varsity game starting. It was like a surreal feeling, just because there was there was, I don't want to say politics, but just some things going on at the time with me starting and stuff, like, you know, with the camp beforehand and guys behind me and such. But yeah, it was very nerve wracking, you know, my first start. But once I kind of got into the field and had, you know, had a groove of things, it was, you know, kind of just took off from there. It was, you know, it's kind of like another day on the job, you know, just yeah. Once those nerves got out of the way, you know, just doing what I tried to do best. And, you know, I remember I had a fairly decent game against that Walsh Jesuit team my junior year. And, yeah, so it was nerve wracking, but, it was good. It was a good first showing of my first varsity career. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
So, what was your most memorable game, and why does it like stand out to you from your career?
I'd probably say my most memorable game at Mayfield would be my senior year, our last regular season game against Kenyon. So during that time, it was we were undefeated up until that point. We'd beaten every team in the conference, our non-conference games that year. Something that, you know, going the season, nobody thought we were going to be able to do. And so, in Kenston, we've always had, you know, trouble with Kenston in the past with their team and such. So, and they were at that time, they had just won the state title. I think it was either a year or two before that.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it was, you know, going into it, we knew it was going to be a tough game. You know, they're always a good team. And, you know, we wanted to get that, you know, undefeated season, you know, that we hadn't done that since like 1986, 1982, something along those lines. I just know we had Mayfield wasn't undefeated, until, you know, since the 1980s. And, so, you know, there's a lot on the line going in that game. You know, we know we were going to make the playoffs, but, you know, we wanted to leave that legacy, so to say. And, you know, when we, you know, the game was very close. It was a very close game, and when it came down to it, some guys made some big plays, you know, Ben Sherlock and, you know, Mike Huss and a couple of those guys made some big plays. And, you know, as well as our defensive effort, it was it was great. We won. Everyone stormed the field. You know, students and you know, faculty that was there. I vividly remember my dad came down on the field. He was like the first one that I saw, and that guy just gave him like, you know, a huge hug just from because there's a lot that had been building up until that point in my football career and just that season as well. And so I'll never ever forget that Kenston game going undefeated. So,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you're making your decision to play in college, ultimately chose College of Worcester. Mm-hmm. So, what made you choose the College of Worcester to continue your football career?
When I went on my visit, on my football visit there, first thing was they're very welcoming at the college. They were everyone that I met, like our tour guide. So the tour guide that I had, his name was Ryan Johnston. He actually eventually became become one of my best friends at the college. But regardless of the point, he was awesome. The coaches were very nice to me. You know, they showed a lot of interest in me. And I remember their linebackers coach at the time, Coach Bauman, he came to the high school and, you know, he didn't meet with anybody else except for me. He was like, you know, we want you to come here. We want you to visit and such. And, you know, also stepping on campus, loved the campus. It was this beautiful campus. You know, when I was going on a bunch of my college football visits, I always try to imagine myself, you know, actually being there.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I felt that I could, you know, do when I was on that campus was like, you know, this is a place I could see myself going. And there's also another guy there when we were sitting down having lunch. His name was Seth Burke. He played on the football team. Unfortunately, he didn't stay on the football team when I got there. But he was like, you know, he was a part of a lot of clubs at the college. He was part of the football team. He was an unbelievably nice guy. Like he was like someone who I wanted to be in college, you know? Sitting down with him and like having my dad talk to him as well. He is a big factor too, you know, like if he's like this, you know, I wonder what, you know, the rest of the team is like, and so to say. So, he was a very big part of that as well. They had, you know, fairly decent, you know, football team. And, they said, I remember they were like, you know, if you come here, like you'll get playing time right away. And that was also, you know, another big drive for me. I know, you know, wherever I decided to go to college, I know I wanted to, play fairly right away. So that was also, you know, a huge driving factor for me choosing the College of Worcester. Yeah. And their academics as well, because they do have phenomenal academics there.
Yeah, and also playing time is very important.
Yeah.
Like, I know most D2 and D3 schools, even D1 too, like, you want to go to a school where you know you're going to get play time and, you know your hard work's going to pay off on the court rather than in practice and all that stuff.
Right.
Or on the field, per se.
Right, exactly.
In your case, well, you know, you're not really a hooper.
You haven't seen me. You don't know.
But, so obviously, recent graduate of Worcester, so big congrats to Dom. So obviously now me and you can kind of talk about this. So obviously I'm sure there were other schools that were interested in you. I guess, like, what other schools, like, I guess, did you have interest in? And, like, kind of showed some interest, showed, you know, some love to you?
Yeah, so the schools that had visited me at my campus or at Mayfield was Worcester, Muskingum, Teal, Mount Union, John Carroll, Heidelberg, and Capital. So a lot of OAC schools, yeah. And then, you know, some NCAC schools like Worcester. The big ones that like showed a lot of interest in me were Heidelberg, Worcester, Capital, another school called Denison that was in our conference, Wittenberg, another school that showed great interest in me. That was through emails. I never got to talk with them. At school, and Ithaca College out in New York, okay. They were also they also reached out to me. But I think the ones that showed the most interest were probably Heidelberg and Worcester. Those were the two biggest schools that showed a ton of interest in me. That was like some, you know, that's something that you want to see as a recruit, you know. Coaches actually showing their interest in you, not just like, hey, come play for us. I had a lot of schools that had reached out to me and had showed interest in me, but you know, at all levels, but you know, those two were the biggest ones. So
yeah. Awesome. So describe your first year as a football player in college. And what were the biggest challenges and overall highlights of your first year at Worcester?
So my first year as an athlete was very different just because it was COVID year.
That's right.
You know, it was COVID times. I remember getting on campus. We had to wear masks everywhere and such. Like we had like maybe one or two meetings with the coaches. Like before October, because in October we had got sent back home because we had a little bit of a COVID outbreak at our campus. But like before then, we'd have like one or two meetings, but we'd have football lifts. But yeah. Like the football lifts would be very, 5 feet apart. Everyone has to be wearing a mask. Immediately after you got done using, you know, a machine or a barbell, dumbbell, you had to wipe it off so the next person could use it. So it was very unusual just because, you know, in high school, that was never the case. You just, you know, everyone was hanging out, everyone was doing the thing, lifting, you know, sweaty, all that stuff. So, you know, that first half was just very, it just wasn't really like, you know, college football, you know, what I expected and such. And we lost a couple of guys from that going in my second semester of freshman year with football. And then second semester, we had found out that we were going to, they were going to let us play a couple of games as long as schools opted into it, you know. Yeah. So so that my freshman year, we only got to play two teams because only two teams opted into it. It was Ohio Wesleyan and DePaul. Wow. And so both of those games were at home for us. So like leading up to that, we'd have practices, but same thing went. Like they gave us like these masks that we were able to like put underneath our helmets. So like the coaches tried to enforce it upon us, like, you know, that we had to have the mask down underneath the helmets during practice and stretching, all those things. So that was obviously something just not fun, you know. Yeah. You know, being all sweaty and having to run around with a mask on, so to say. But they, you know, throughout freshman year, they started to get a little bit more lenient. The school started to get a little bit more lenient. And then they would, you know, come back on it because then you would have like a small outbreak or something. So it was just very different. It was very different than what I expected, you know, my first year of college football would be, you know, my expectations that I had for it to be. But, you know, we, you know, going into that first game, we, there was a guy that was in front of me. He wasn't kind of just doing the best in the classroom, and he wasn't, you know, kind of showing up for a lot of the things. And because of that, they named me the starter, starting defensive end my freshman year for that first game, and went okay. You know, it was I was very undersized, underweight my freshman year. I was playing DN at like maybe 180, if that. So I was very undersized, given my weight and everything. But, you know, went out, kind of did my thing, did my job, you know, for those I started both of those games. You know, I just kind of did my job, you know, made a couple of plays. Like you said, I had nine tackles between the two games, which was fairly decent. But it's just that freshman year was just very unpredictable, I'd say, with sports and football. So, yeah.
Yeah, and plus, I'm sure it was rough wearing a mask while playing. And, you know, it just makes it so much harder.
Yeah, it was very hard to go through that and to have done that. It was, even now looking back on it, like it was crazy. So
yeah, I'm sure it feels like not real.
No,
I can't believe that even happened.
It's like a blur now, that freshman year. It's just like a blur, you know. So yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. But so after that, you consistently made an impact. We can see that with the stats and like the tackles and all that. So you eventually did become a team captain. So how did that make you feel, and what motivated you to keep improving year after year?
So sophomore year, started all 10 games, had a fairly decent sophomore year. That was like kind of like the first official, year of football that I had. Had a fairly decent season. Contributed, you know, as much as I could at the defensive end position. I bulked up, you know, in that summer, put on the weight that I needed to. Kind of in the weight room and on the field, always, you know, imagine myself as a leader. You know, it's something that, you know, kind of always, it was just instilled upon me at a young age, was to just kind of be vocal and be that leader for people. And, so that spring ball of my sophomore year going to my junior year, I was named captain by my teammates that were on the on the football team, it was, you know, it was a phenomenal feeling. You know, I was being named a captain as a junior in college is something that's, you know, normal, I guess I would say, or common, I'd say. You know, if you're picked as a captain, as a junior in college, it's something that you should be very proud of, and that's something I was. You know, I remember getting my name called. You know, I wasn't expecting to get my name called. You know, during that time, you know, was I hoping? Of course. You know, what leader isn't hoping to get their name called?
Right.
But once I actually did, it was a phenomenal feeling. You know, it was, you know, kind of like once I got named captain, that junior year, I was like, all right, I got a lot of eyes on me now, so I can't, you know, I might have not been able to do the things that I was doing previously, you know, so I, you know, always, no matter what I was doing, no matter where I was, you got to be that leader. Someone, you know, guys on the football team that they can look up to, you know, no matter whether it be in the classroom, you know, parties, clubs, whatever the case may be, you got eyes on you now. And it's not only, you know, just guys on the football team, but it's the coaches as well, because they're always looking for you to be that leader and you know, do the right thing always. So it kind of just put that, you know, I already had a chip on my shoulder, but that kind of just, like, you know, made it twice as, you know, I don't know if the right word is, but it just increased that chip on my shoulder that much more. It was just, it was a phenomenal feeling. I was very thankful at that time to be named captain. It was myself and then three other seniors on the team. Wow. It was a very phenomenal feeling, but I was very humbled as well to be named captain, you know, and understood the, I don't want to say baggage, but the responsibilities that it came with it as well.
And plus, too, it's also a great feeling, too, when you know that people, like, look up to you.
Yep.
You know, they want to replicate, I guess, like, the same attitude, same, like, kind of, like, behavior that you had. Like, it makes you kind of, like, lead by example and really set that standard.
Definitely.
So, very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
That's huge. Obviously, during practice, you know, there were a lot of good and bad practices, I'm sure. So during the hard ones, how did you stay motivated? And even after, like, a difficult loss, how did you kind of keep your head up?
So I guess, so in terms of the hard practices part, in days where I just didn't, you know, sometimes I just didn't want to be out there, you know, doing something else, it kind of goes back to that, you know, being named captain as well, you know, like, like I said, you know, you got guys looking at you always, no matter what, you know, you know, you're named captain for a reason, and, you know, you have to be very vocal to be a captain, you know, at least on our team that I was on. And, you know, so, like, you know, when there's those days and those practices where you're just like, oh, I don't want to be out here. Like, oh, I have, you know, this amount of homework that I got to do and go home to, like, you got to understand that, like, you know, you're not only just playing for yourself, but you're playing for your teammates as well. And, you know, kind of going into those practices, I was like, you know, look, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm doing playing football in college for a reason. You know, I'm here for a reason, you know. Yeah. Do you know, would I rather be doing homework right now or you know, going out and, you know, drinking or whatever the case may be, like, yeah, maybe, but, like, it was also just that love for football as well. You know, I truly felt like there was nothing better than football, playing football and being a part of that team. And, you know, I kind of also looked at it as, what's the right word for it?
Like an opportunity?
Yeah, like an opportunity, but, like, you know, it's not everyone can play football, you know, not everyone gets the opportunity to play college football, or, you know, whether it be, you know, something internally, you know, externally, physically, you know, it's not everyone can play football. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there's probably people out there that would, you know, would have died to be in, you know, to have been in my position, and doing the things that I was doing for the team. And, you know, so like, yeah, you gotta look at it that, you know, at that, perspective as well. You know, yeah, it's, you know, you can never take it for granted, you know, being out there and just playing the sport that you love to play. You know, that was a big thing that got me through the practices. And then after tough losses, you know, like, you just kind of took it with a grain of salt. You know, like, you know, we'd always have film sessions, you know, afterwards, and, you know, you look back upon it, see what you did wrong, see what you could have improved upon. You know, yeah, losses, you know, they suck. You know, what loss doesn't? But you take it with a grain of salt and you move on to the next week, you know, to see what you could have improved upon, you know, with the game beforehand, whether it be like myself or teammates, game plan, you know, whatever the case may be, you take the loss for what it was, and then, you know, see what you could have done better, and then you move on to the next week, move on to that next opponent, because, you know, you can't change fans, can't change a loss, so you then just focus on to that next team that's coming up that very next week. So, yeah.
It's true. So, obviously, you're a student athlete, mm-hmm. student most importantly.
Right.
So, how did you balance the demand of being a student athlete with your academic and social life? Obviously, playing a sport in college is not tough, on top of also having friends, having, you know, groups, clubs, fraternities, all of that stuff, as well as, you know, class, homework.
Yeah, so, like, you know, football kind of forced me to be organized, you know, in a way. Like, I viewed football as like a job on top of an already full-time job, you know, and a lot of other guys kind of, you know, realized, like, you know, if you weren't organized and if you didn't time manage, you know, very well, you wouldn't have done well. You know, you wouldn't have done well on the field, you wouldn't have done well in the academics, and we lost a couple of guys because of that, you know. So yeah. Some guys figure it out, some guys don't. I was thankful enough to have figured it out, you know. And it wasn't just from football. It was also, you know, my professors, my parents, my dad, you know, especially, you know, my brother a little bit. You know, some of the upperclassmen that were there as well. You kind of figured out how to do everything in a way, and how to time management and how to, you know, manage your time. You know, after the football season, you're obviously given some time to kind of do your own thing for a little bit. You have like maybe one or two team workouts before you left for winter break, and then right back to it once we got back. So with spring ball, morning workouts, morning conditioning, things along that nature. So it was just something that, you know, I had to learn. You know, it's I wouldn't have survived like how I had if I didn't, you know, just learn it. You know, it does help that I, you know, played a sport in high school and was able to kind of get those time management skills down a little bit, you know, in high school. But, you know, college is a whole different breed. You know, it's something that, you know, a lot of people don't truly understand how much time it takes to be a student athlete. And then as well as I was also part of various clubs on campus, I was president of fraternity. So, you know, I don't think I would have been able to go anywhere else and I had done the things that I had done at Worcester. Anywhere else. You know, I couldn't have done what I'd done at Worcester anywhere else. Worcester allowed me to do everything that I wanted to do, while still time management, everything, still get an amazing education, still play the sport that I loved. That's another thing, like why I love Worcester so much. It provided me with all of that, you know. So I wouldn't have traded it for the world. So, wow. Yeah.
So, did you have like a little like agenda or like calendar, like Google Calendar, like what did like you like use to keep track of all like your time, like your like schedule for the day?
Yeah, so like I every single year, so our football coaches would always send us schedules over emails. It would always then get put into our Outlook calendar. So that was, excuse me, so that was always, you know, some that I didn't have to necessarily worry about with football and that scheduling, because it was always done essentially for us, since it was automatically put into our Outlook calendars. So I just had to go back and reference that. But I always had, I had a planner every single year of college. So I would always, I made sure before I left for college, always to get a planner. And yeah, so I like anything that I had coming up, I'd write in the planner. So even though I did have my football schedule on my Outlook calendar, I'd still put it on my planner as well, because my planner had, you know, everything else on it, school, academics, clubs, extracurriculars, anything that I attend, anything that I wanted to do was in that planner. And that was like a huge thing for me, just because, I could have put it in my computer, but I think just writing it down helped for me. You know, I know not everyone likes to write stuff down and likes to put it in their computer, but a big thing for me was writing it down. It kind of helped with my, you know, memory a little bit with just writing it down. And having that planner every single year was a huge thing that kept me organized throughout those 4 years. So
I've been telling everyone, like, within the past few weeks, like, the planner is, like, in my opinion, one of the greatest inventions ever. I love it. I use it daily for school. Like, it's awesome, helps with all the timing and stuff. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, I agree. Planners are amazing. I would recommend it to anyone, you know. So
being an athlete, did you have any pregame rituals or, like, superstitions, like any socks, any gloves, headband?
No, not really. Like, I would, like, you know, I think my sophomore year, I guess I did have a pregame ritual. My college house at the time had, like, a massive porch. So every Friday night, myself and a couple of guys in my fraternity, a couple of guys from the football team would come over, and we'd just hang out on the porch, listen to music, talk, you know, just kind of be together just the night before a game. Because since our porch was so big, we always had, like, so many people over. And everyone kind of knew everyone at the College of Worcester. I remember every single night, at least my sophomore year, we'd always have guys come over on that Friday night onto our porch just to hang out and talk and sit around, listen to some music, you know, talk about the game the next day, you know. So,
yeah.
But in terms of any pregame rituals, I didn't really have any. I'd kind of show up. Put my headphones on, kind of just get into the zone, get into that tenacious mindset that I kind of needed to get into before games, and that was about it. Don't really believe in superstitions, so to say.
Yeah.
I just kind of your game talks. You go out and play the way that you play and how you prepare. So
it's true.
Yeah.
So, like, what was your go-to song? Like, obviously, like, you know, you got to have a song that you, like, you know, end off on, or one that, like, you have to play before every game. You got to have at least one.
So it was either Ace of Spades or Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine. Both songs just, like, it just flipped that switch into my head. I was like, all right, like, let's go out and do this. Like, let's, like, you know, let's go out and win, you know. So it just, it really did. It just flipped that switch into my head, and I was like, let's do this. I'm ready.
Who's the Ace of Spades?
I can't remember the band name, but it's just like a very fast-paced heavy metal song that both songs are very, like, you know, kind of fast-paced heavy metal songs. So, those two songs are, and Crazy Train a little bit too.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Crazy Train's a great song, and that's something that my dad loved to play to kind of get me to the zone when I was little. But
and also that was on Madden 11.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, that's when I'd always beat you in Madden 11. Because Crazy Train would come on, I'd be like, "All right, time to beat Marcel once again."
Not on the Wii.
Maybe on the Xbox. On.
because I had the Wii, he had the Xbox.
I beat him
so
always.
I would play Xbox because my parents wouldn't let me get an Xbox, so I'd always go over to his house just to play Xbox.
And I always beat him. And then even when I came over to his house on the Wii, I always beat him on the Wii.
No, because the Wii, you had to throw. Like, you had to actually, like, hold the buttons and you had to throw it. So I was always more accurate, like so when
this
I would throw
is,
it.
So this is when you had the athletic abilities?
Okay. Dude, I was always athletic. I was always more athletic than him anyways. But overall, what advice would you give to current or future student athletes? Obviously, you've been through a lot of experiences. So any advice to the people out there?
Just keep at it. Keep going. If you want to be a part of a sport in college or, high school, whatever the case may be, but college especially, one big thing is, like, just make sure that you're playing the sport that you're playing because of you. You know, don't play it for anyone else. Don't play because you think it's, going to be cool. People are going to be like, oh, he or she's on, like, the soccer team, football team, volleyball team, whatever the case may be. Don't just play because, like, you want to, look cool or have the uniform, want to, just wear the uniform. Play because you want to play. Play because you love the sport and that you want to be there and play in that sport. And just enjoy it. I know a couple of times, throughout my college football career, I took it a lot more serious than I should have. And, I couldn't enjoy the victories as much as I could have. And, it's not something I necessarily regret, but it's like, looking back on it, maybe I could have, just enjoyed it a little bit more. It's not life or death. I knew I wasn't going to the NFL or anything. So it's like, just go enjoy it. It's obviously be competitive. I'm not telling anyone to not be competitive. But just go out and enjoy it. Be out there with, like, your friends and, because they're doing the same exact thing, that you are. And, stick at it. Like, if you're feeling moments of, weakness and vulnerability, if it's not for you, it's not for you, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you have that diehard passion for it, and whether you're struggling in the classroom or struggling on the field, do something about it. Fix whatever you have to fix, in order to continuing to play the sport that you love, but also getting your degree. Doing the academics as well. That's probably my biggest things, keep moving forward, and as well as, enjoy it as much as possible, because something that I'm starting to realize now that I'm out of college, it flies by. It really does, So just make the most of it while you're still in it. So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. So yeah. Now I always end off my podcast with the quote of the episode, but There's a few more, like, mini questions that I have to ask you before we
wrap
this podcast up.
Yeah.
So, first question. So, out of all my friends, so obviously Dom, cousin of mine, I've been around all my friends.
Yes.
If you had to pick three friends to be stranded on an island with, random, like, out of all my friends, which three are you picking? Almost like, three favorite.
So, so am I picking this off of, like, survivability?
You're just picking this, like, in general.
Just in general. Oh, God. Shane.
Wow.
Shane will probably be one.
Wow, Shane at one?
Well, no, I'm just, like, one of them. These aren't in any specific order. Shane will probably be one of them. Probably Ricky. Ricky would probably be another one. I used to, back at Mayfield, he used to be my so-called son. so he would probably be another one. Oh man. And, you know, just for his humor and likability, let's go with Cam.
Wow. Cam Smith.
So spot. I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but you know, he was always in high school. He was always so funny. Always always put a smile on my face. So I would have him there just because he's a very likable kid, and he was always able to make me smile. So
wow, yeah. Hey, that's a solid group right there.
Yeah, I think that's a solid group. I think we'd be able to survive for a little bit.
Yeah,
but probably wouldn't make it out, but we would survive for a little bit, have some good laughs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, me and Dom, like, back in the day, used to, you know, play soccer together, play football. We play a lot of sports together. I think baseball, too. Mm-hmm. We did so much together. We had some pretty heated battles playing basketball. A lot of times, we'd get pissed at each other, call fouls, play hard defense. If me and you were to play today, up to 11, make it take it ones and twos. Who's winning?
Me. That's
like crazy.
Look, we can go out and do it anytime, any moment, when we go out and do that, we can add it on to this, this clip at the
end. No, we'll make it separate.
We could do it live, whatever the case may be. I am fully confident in my abilities that I would beat you. Would it be close? Yeah, it'd probably be close. But I'm winning.
Yeah, but
10 times out of 10, I'm winning. When you came over and you played the one day.
Dude, that was up to like 3. It was really up to 3.
Who won?
Okay, you won.
Oh, see?
No, but so, he was doing like LeBron James, like hook shots, like left, right. I'm telling you.
I'm nice.
I'm nice. Those layups would have not gone in. I swear.
I'm nice with it. I don't know what else you want me to say.
Yeah, but you can't shoot.
Shooting.
I would leave him open.
Shooting isn't my best, you know, trait or skill. But I'll knock some here, down here and there, and that's all I need to beat you. So
yes,
I'm winning 10 times out of 10, and all we'll right. add. We'll do it. We'll do something separate.
Well, actually, I did receive some breaking news today. My former player, so CSS, big 3-on-3 tournament. It's awesome. I'm sure you guys have seen some of the highlights, some of the clips from the YouTube channel. So my center for this year, Jimmy Shaw, unfortunately got hurt. He's going to be out. He tore his PCL. Not playing basketball, from a long time ago. I think through football and stuff, he just never got it healed. So, unfortunately, he's out for next year. So, that means a spot opens up, you know, to my man right here. Hopefully, Dom can come in and showcase his skills for us and enter in the 2025 CSS draft.
Let's do it. I know I missed this past summer. I'm down. I'm there next summer.
Yeah, should be a...
I'll take the league on storm. It'll be like... LeBron James coming into the NBA.
He'd be bottom 5 players in the league. You'd be bottom 5. So,
oh, come on. We both know that's not true.
Yeah, but I would draft him, though, for sure.
I hope so.
But, yeah, it's true. Family first.
Wow, yeah. I'll finish. Yeah.
But, two more questions. So, sure. If you were to compare yourself to an NFL player, Who would you say your game kind of was similar to, or you kind of looked up to in your position?
Who I was similar with? I'd probably say that's a good question. I never really looked at it that way. So when I was playing linebacker my junior year, I think my play style was very similar to Peyton Wilson, who just got drafted to the Steelers. He was, you know, won the Butt Kiss Award for the best, you know, college linebacker at NC State. And he was a freak. He always knew where to be, where to go. He, you know, wasn't afraid to hit. He was awesome. You know, I'd like to think that my play style was very similar to his for at linebacker. And then at D end, I don't know, probably like Joey Bosa, you know, probably, okay. You know, probably him. You know, I wasn't obviously the fastest guy out there, but one thing that Joey Bosa has, he's very, very good with his hands. You know, he's very technical. He's very, you know, he's very fundamentally sound, and he's probably someone that I try and mirror my game after. So, yeah.
Wow. And then last question before we get into the quote of the episode. Did you have any, like, desire to play, like, I know, like, the CFL, kind of got some interest there, or even at least trying out for, like, a pro team? Did you have any interest?
So I had a couple of teams from Canada reach out to me, and some teams out in Europe as well. Two former teammates, one played in Canada this past season, and now another one's actually playing in Canada right now.
Wow.
And then another one played, our quarterback played, professionally in London, I'm pretty sure it was. And, so I, you know, I had a couple of teams reach out to me and ask if I wanted to play, but, you know, I thought about it for a little bit, but I think, you know, my body was just done with it. You know, I had a lot of injuries, nothing, you know, too serious, which, you know, I'm very thankful for, but I had, you know, I had some injuries, you know, ending my college football career, and, you know, my body was just at that point where I was like, hey, like, you know, can't do this much longer, you know, and, you know, practices got harder, and, you know, morning conditioning got harder. It's not simply just because I couldn't do it, just because my body was like, you know, it's catching up to me a little bit. You know, I played football for, I don't know, 16 years, 12 years, whatever it was. So, you know, over those years, you know, your body takes those hits. And I was always playing linebacker or D-end, you know, so those are positions where you're typically hitting every single play, you know, and, you know, so throughout those years, it just caught up to me, and, you know, I was like, you know, yeah, would have been cool to, you know, maybe got an opportunity to travel a little bit. Yes, you know, of course, but, you know, at that time, my body was just like, hey, you know, we're done, and, you know, I was okay with that. You know, I wanted to start, you know, my adult life, so to say, and, yeah.
Awesome. So, obviously, the quote of the episode, for those who don't know, I pick a quote from, like, you know, a player from the respective sport, and, you know, will kind of relate to how this quote relates to your life, and a quote that, like, you live, and then a quote that you kind of live by every single day. You'll talk about that after this quote.
Sure.
So, quote of the episode is, remember, once you set a goal, it's all about how hard you're willing to work, how much you're willing to sacrifice, and how badly you truly want it. J.J. Watt. So what does that quote mean to you, and how does that relate to your life?
I mean, it's exactly what the quote is, you know, like, you know, if you want something, go get it, you know, be, you know, if you want to do something, go do it, you know, that's, you know, like, yeah, whatever you want to do in life, whatever you want to be in life, you know, whatever your circumstance may be, or, you know, the position you're in, go get it, you know, like, do what you want to do with your life, you know, you are in control of, you know, of your own life, and, you know, obviously you got to work hard at it, and stick with it throughout the entire time, but, you know, be whoever you want to be in your life, and, you know, just work at it, and yeah, so that's kind of, you know, what I think about that with that quote. So
yeah, and what's a quote that you live by every single day?
Oh yeah, so a quote that I live by every day, and kind of a quote that my father instilled upon me at a young age was, If you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. It's something that I live by at a very young age, something I still live by till this day. You know, like, excuse me, it's kind of the same thing. The quote is, you know, exactly what it means. You know, if you fail to prepare, you know, for whether it be, you know, your sport, your job, the classroom, you know, life, relationships, fail to prepare, you know, just prepare for that failure that you're going to receive afterwards. So, you know, that's something that I've instilled upon others. You know, I've talked to others about, you know, my college career and, you know, being a captain and such. But yeah, it's, that's a quote I try and live by every single day. And, very thankful my dad for instilling upon that, upon me, at a very young age.
Yeah, that's a great quote too. And actually, whenever I think of that quote, I always think of your dad as well.
Yep. Yeah, I know he was. I know he
always said that.
Always said it.
Kids, for sure.
Yeah. So.
But that's it for this episode. Brand new season. I'm very thankful for Dom for joining this podcast. It was a great episode. It was great catching up with him. And also talking to him as well. Now we have to take this to the court, and also on college football. We'll definitely, I'm sure we'll be playing that soon.
Oh, 100%.
Did you buy the game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll definitely play. But last time we played in Madden, he actually rage quit
all. Oh, what? What?
And he also left the party, and he got off too.
Oh my god.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't played Xbox in ages.
All right, that was like last semester though.
Yeah, whenever it was.
But I'm very appreciative for Dom. Love him to death, and I'm very thankful that he came on the show today. Hopefully, you had a great experience. Hopefully, you had a great time on the show.
Yeah, this was awesome.
And I'm actually changing the times for the podcast. I'm going to start uploading Friday mornings or maybe Monday mornings, just depending on the week. But either Friday or Mondays at 8 a.m. every week, and that way you can listen to it. You know. Driving to school, going to work, during lunch, you know, kind of give more options because obviously 4:30 on a Saturday, college football is coming on. So I'm sure people will be doing that instead of watching this podcast. But is there any way people can like reach you if they have any questions or anything like that? Any like social media pages or nothing?
You know, if you want to come find me, I'm not hard to find. You know, if you, if you reach out to this guy, I'm sure he can give out my info and such. I doubt anyone would be willing to is gonna want my info. But yeah, you know, if yeah, my Instagram's dbrow8. Yeah. That's probably all I'll give you guys. And anything else, go reach out to Marcelo. So
well, it's funny because. My friend Anthony, he was on this podcast, and he had a NIL deal, mm-hmm. like a sponsorship.
Yeah.
So like, he was telling me like, to like plug his code and like his Instagram bio.
That's
so
awesome.
I didn't know if you had anything like that.
Nah. I have a Legion supplement code called DomD. You get 20% off Legion.
Link in bio.
link in my Instagram bio if you want any workout supplements at a discounted rate.
Come on. There we go. But that'll do it. And we'll see you next episode. So peace.
Yep.
We'll see you.
See you. Woohoo!